If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of What Most People Think. Whatever made you subscribe to this, download this, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing that. If you're new to the podcast, this is a show about politics, social issues, men's issues and stuff, but it's coming at it from the idea that most people, the overwhelming majority of people, are decent. And it also comes from the idea that outside the liberal bubble, I know it's become a cliche, but it's become a cliche because it is a thing. I would argue that the liberal bubble isn't even a bubble anymore. It's becoming a bunker. They're embedding themselves further in. So, but obviously most people live outside of that. So this show is just trying to get to grips with what it is, just have reasonable opinions on the hot button issues of the day. That sounded wank, didn't it? That sounded awful. The hot button issues of the day. A sideways glance at the news. Anyway, I've had a pretty good week. I took my son to the Imperial War Museum this week because I'm old school. But no, I take him to the one at Duxford because they've got a lot of planes there and he likes planes. I'm not trying to say to him that the war is a fantastic thing. Well, you know, I mean, like, war is kind of cool. There's no denying that war's like smoking, all right? It's kind of cool and you just have to accept that fact whilst dealing also with the reality that it does cause death. He was asking me about goodies and baddies, you know. So what was that for, Dad? Well, that was to shoot the enemy. And what were they, baddies? I was like, well, you know, not to them, I'd imagine. You know, they were just carrying out orders, son. Then you're into a murky area. Like, Hitler was bad, son. Hitler was bad. The geezers just Goebbels, that lot, not good. Chain of command, probably a few further down, then it gets a bit murky, son. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's free, so perhaps next time we'll just go to soft play. So what will we be talking about this week? Well, firstly, me being a prick for asking myself a rhetorical question. I hate when people do that. You know, when politicians and sports people ask themselves questions like, yeah, are we pleased with the result? Yeah, possibly. Could we have played better? Yeah, absolutely. Am I having a weird bipolar episode in front of a camera? Yeah, we'll be talking about global warming and we'll be talking about co-op degendering the gingerbread man. So yet another totemic figure of the patriarchy falls, lads. We'll also be talking about the increasing pressure on men to look good, both in films and in life. Okay, after an interview with the bloke from The Bodyguard, he maybe just can't keep up the fucking six pack, but the guy's broken. He's broken down and it's a cry for help. And finally, in men's health, we'll be looking at being present. Okay, lads, are you present? Are you present enough in your lives? Do you show up in a big way for the people that need you? So that's the agenda for this show. So before we crack on with the show, we've got to do thank yous and fuck yous. Can I just say something as well? Like, I didn't put this in as a thank you, but thank you to everyone that's contacted me and interacted with me about the podcast. Genuinely, I didn't think when I started this that I would enjoy it that much. It's become like a really great thing, and when people speak to me about it at gigs and stuff and online, it's such a direct thing. So I don't know where you're listening to this now, whether, you know, you're at work and you're trying to piss away the afternoon. Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it. 4:15, you look at this, roughly 40-odd minutes. I'll just put the old AirPod in or the earbud. Are you doing it like that? Maybe you're a lady. Yeah, we had some interaction from our lady listeners. Maybe you're doing it, you know, you just put an earphone in while you're doing the housework. Right, ladies? Yeah? That's what women do, isn't it? Housework just makes makes those household chores just that little bit easier. I don't know if I'm stereotyping, but I'll tell you this, stereotypes are there for a reason. Outside, you know, outside the M25, I guarantee there's women that just, things haven't moved on. A lot of women are still using mangles. They like the pleasure of repairing socks themselves. Okay, I'm going to stop here. But yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And so thank you on that one. Thank you to the Imperial War Museum. My son, as we were walking down one of the main bits where all the planes come down, he fell and hit his head. And there was staff there immediately. And they were very... he didn't hit his head hard. To be honest, they fucking overreacted. The guy was like, first, I was grateful that there was someone around who cared. But then he kept going on about, like, do you want me to get the ambulance? I was like, all right, mate, now you're making him paranoid. But I should make this a thank you. He genuinely seemed concerned. Fuck you to comedians winding me up before I go on stage about politics. I've had it a couple of times recently, as obviously Brexit has, you know, imploded to a degree and the Tories with it. I've had a couple of comedians thought they'll rib me about it gently. These are friends, people that I like. But you know what? Actually, thank you to them too, because I've gone on and had really good gigs and I've opened with political stuff, which I don't always do. So be careful what you wish for, comics, yeah? You wanna wind me up? Yeah, in fact, I'm gonna hire somebody to do that on tour. I'm going to hire just a little pro-Remain Corbyn type person just to sit in my green room and just wind me up with leftist Remain-y cliches. I think that'll get me in the right headspace. I'll hit the stage with the right energy then. And I'll pay that Corbynista. I'll pay them, I don't know, I'll pay them the kind of wages that they would earn under Corbyn. I'd like to say thank you to my son for punching me in the balls this morning. It's always a weird moment, isn't it? It's that heady mix of pain and pride, because he really connected on the one side of the pain, because obviously there's that moment before bollock pain really kicks in, where you just, it's almost like a moment of clarity. He connected, man. There's no getting around it. It was an undeniably brilliant haymaker. So thank you. And it really woke me up as well. I was a bit late getting up. I needed to crack on. So it was a bit like coffee. That's what I think. If you're trying to get off coffee, get like a 3-year-old son and just go and stand at that level, and there's every chance that they will punch you in the nuts, and that will certainly get you in the room. Fuck you to my Twitter followers, really. I did a campaign last week. I thought, you know, with all this Brexit uncertainty, right, it's obviously bad for business, and I was thinking about businesses that have started up since the referendum, and I thought, man, you've got to have some balls, right, to have done that. So I thought, instead of taking paid advertising on the podcast, I thought I would do some free adverts. I did a little video. I thought it was really funny. And my wife did say to me, she said, just be aware that this might not play out how you think. I don't know. She's generally right about stuff, which is kind of annoying. But nothing. Now, in fact, actually, I haven't checked the email address. So I'll check that now. Hang on. Well, yeah, I checked. And that was annoying because there was an email there. The first email account, I got excited and it said... it's from YouTube. It's a generic. So I offered free advertising to businesses. All they had to do was prove to me that they'd started since the date of the referendum, and I was going to give 2, 3, 30-second adverts. Even if you was a Remainer, do you know what I mean? Even if you was a Corbynist and had some shitty little cottage industry of you fucking weaving like mats out of your nose hair or whatever it is Corbynistas do. I was going to do that. But you know what? You've hurt my feelings. Yeah, either that or I conclude that Brexit Britain is absolutely booming. Yeah, that people don't need free adverts. So I'm hurt. Like, you know, I put my feelings out there. No one took it up. So I'm going to go the other way now. This is going to be my revenge. I'm going to do free adverts for exactly the sort of evil corporations that people despise. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pick. Nestle, bring in formula milk to Africa out of the goodness of their hearts. There you go. But the good thing was it made me set up an email address for the podcast. Because I'm buzzing about doing this podcast. I want to communicate more directly. So if you want to contact me, if you want to contact me about the podcast, email whatmostpeoplethinkuk, or one word, @gmail.com. And I suppose the things are men's mental health issues. That would be a good one. If there's particular things that you want me to address. And like I said last time, you know, maybe ladies' mental health as well. You know, I'm going to talk about ladies' mental health, about the pressure of all that All that ironing building up. Right, ladies, I understand the struggle. Anyway, let's crack on with the show. Climate change, right? So first off, I'm conscious there are people who listen to my podcast that won't even subscribe to it, right? They just think, it's just lefty bullshit, Jeff, yeah? They're just jealous of the size of our cars. Look, that could be true, but at the very least, you have to acknowledge that the majority of respectable scientists think it's happening. There's been a lot of fuss about it recently. Obviously, we had the kids bunking off school. Sorry, protesting for the day. You can bunk off school if you're doing something that makes teachers feel good about themselves. It was funny, wasn't it? Because they bunked off school the first time and everyone was like, oh my God, it just makes me feel so passionate, you know, good. You know, and we discussed this last time about lefties and young people. And then when they did it like a couple of weeks later, it was like all the teachers and parents hadn't thought it through. Oh shit, this might be a thing. Yeah, because that's what teenagers are like. They're smart and they're devious. And if they realise they're onto a wheeze, because at first, I bet you any money the kids bunking off were the really politically motivated ones. But then you had all the roughnecks that were like, hang on, well, they weren't in school last week. Yeah, what? Yeah, climate change. I'm all about the climate change, mate. Yeah, I'm not going to go to the march. I'm going to do my own march in my bedroom with some weed and Xbox Live. Right? And then you know that those same parents that were very pro their kids going on the climate change march, if they were still wanting a bunk of school around like at SATs time, right, when they've paid for all that personal tuition. No, look, Phoebe, I really support, you know, your views on the planet, but I also support the fact I've been paying £20 an hour for a maths tutor, okay? So I'm going to lock you in your room. So why are we doing so little about climate change, given that essentially most people seem to think it's a thing? See, the weird thing is not like I'm not doing anything, right? Now, that's not to say that I don't accept that it's happening. It's even worse than that. It's that I do accept it's happening, and I still don't give a fuck, right? Now, that's not good. I'm just trying to be honest. Yeah, that's why the podcast is called What Most People Think, right? I'm just saying it. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Because if I believed it, I would care. And I do believe it, but I'm not doing anything about it. I wonder if it comes down to the language on some level, right? Because all the words around it sound quite gentle, don't they? You know, like global warming. Since when has anything warming been a bad thing? Warming is almost always a good word. Yeah, do you want that? Do you want that warmed up, sir? Yeah, I will actually. Yeah, do you want that? Always a very warm human being. Oh, your arse is warm. That third example wasn't a good example, but you get the drift, right? Climate change sounds like a feature on a new Kia Sportage, doesn't it? So I got a Kia Sportage. Of course, it came with climate change as standard. Oh, very nice, Barry. Nice new motor. Climate change, they needed to give it right from the get-go. They needed to give it something scary, like global weather fuckpocalypse. You know, something that just got your attention. Because this has been my issue with a lot of government campaigns of late, is that, I'm broadly speaking, I don't like the government intervening, but I do think if you're going to try and change public opinion, then don't piss about, right? When I was a kid, public health videos, right, or adverts, were bleak. They were so... Do you remember the AIDS advert? Do you remember that? Everyone, even like my generation, just say AIDS. Even though actually, you know, rates of AIDS... oh, God. This is a terrible thing. I have to admit that I find AIDS to be a funny word. And don't act. Don't judge me, okay? It's not to say that... Look, I cried at Philadelphia. It's not to say that I think it's funny, but it's just one of those words that has so much power. Right, and part of the reason it has the power is because when we was growing up, there was an advert, and if you're a bit younger, you might have seen this on these kind of list shows, but it's just like it was this graveyard, like something like from the Thriller video, but you know, I mean, it had a gravestone, and it's AIDS is not prejudice. It's basically saying you're going to get AIDS, you're probably going to get AIDS, was the general message of the video, to the point where I actually thought I might have AIDS while I was still a virgin. That was the power of the AIDS advert. I was wanking with gloves on, yeah? I mean, I still do that, but for a very different reason. So that's what we need. That's what we need with climate change. Because the message isn't getting through, is it? And if my son is listening to this in the future, and, you know, where we live looks like the surface of Venus. I'm sorry, I can't explain why we were sleepwalking our way through this. I mean, one of the things the government have done is recycling. And I think that is, in a way, just a way of distracting us, isn't it? Like, just to convince us that we're doing something. So you're standing there, you know, you're kind of washing your Tetra Pak, right? You know, just getting that little bit of yogurt out there. I mean, if you're a really tremendous human being, you know, if you had an old bottle of salad cream, you would open it, rinse it, leave it by the side. It's so ridiculous, isn't it, thinking that this shit will count in the long run. I think that's because they're smart, right? I think what's happened is the governments of the world, right, and I'm wearing my tinfoil hat as I say this, have kind of realised that we're already too far gone, right? So they've gone, shit. But if the people realised how imminent this is, they would freak out and we wouldn't have any continuity. And so what they really need is to plan their huge spaceships to go and live in another galaxy. But they need our resources in the meantime. So to placate us, they've... I didn't realise how mad this was going to sound. But they've got us like washing, recycling, just thinking on some level that this is going to make a difference. It's like, you know, like how like you give old people knitting needles and it distracts them from the inevitability of death. I think that's what sorting through recycling is for us. I think we passed that point a long time ago, mate. I reckon we passed the point before we even started thinking about it being a problem. I reckon it was... All right, get one of those old family photos, right? You know those kind of like registry office weddings that you was there when you was like two. You're in the photo and stuff. Everyone's got fucked up hair and it's all orange. Everyone's smoking. You know you can tell that the men were drinking the night before and on the day and were going to drink. The good old days, right, lads? That photo there, you see in the background, right? See your auntie Jean, yeah? She... There's no women called Jean anymore. Was there some sort of like sacrifice in the mid-80s of women called Jean? I knew loads back in the day. But anyway, behind Jean and Mick, you know Jean and Mick, right? There's a Ford Capri. And when they started that car, that was the exact moment, right? That was the exact moment that the planet tipped over into global weather fuckpocalypse. And there's a lot of hypocrisy, isn't there? Have you ever noticed that about, like, there's a direct sort of correlation between your mate that uses eco washing up powder and also takes the most long-haul flights a year? There is some sort of line, some cognitive dissonance. I'm going to use the posh word there. Cognitive dissonance. It's just a fancy way of saying, I suppose, that... God, is he going to be exposed or something? Oh, my God, I'm going to have to check what that means. Okay, cognitive dissonance. It's the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitude, especially as relating to behavioural decisions and attitude. Was that altitude? Of course it's attitude. Why would it be altitude, James? Jeff? Anyway, so we have a lot of that, right? And you suddenly know exactly what cognitive dissonance is. Basically, it's what everybody on the liberal left has, isn't it? That tension between what they say that they think should happen, but actually the way that they live in their lives runs contrary to that. The people that are most worried about the planet, probably the most likely to fuck off to Thailand 3 times a year. So I guess what most people think about global warming is that it's happening, it's a problem, we should all do something about it, but we're not, and hopefully someone else will sort it out, and if it doesn't, then we will just fry like eggs on the surface of planet Earth. So just a quick plug, the tour, okay? Tickets are selling for this. Thank you for all the people in Glasgow, Belfast, Aberdeen and whatnot. That kicked on nicely. Everywhere has had... just like Amy Winehouse had a nice little bump recently. That was boo! I don't care. So yeah, but I'm also going to plug the email address again. I want to hear from you guys. This sounds needy now, doesn't it? whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. I want to get that community going, guys. Let's get talking. Let's get sharing. I also want to recommend a podcast, actually. Chris Ramsey and Rosie Ramsey. It's called Shagged, Married, Annoyed. It's absolutely crushing it. So it's been at the top of the charts. And essentially, if you're just getting into podcasts, this is the reason I say it, because a few people have said to me, look, I didn't even listen to podcasts till I listened to yours, Jeff. There are loads of good ones out there, but this is like totally non-political. And it's called Shagged, Married, Annoyed. So it's a good title as well. But they're just a married couple, young married couple, and they're talking and they're bickering, and it's really good fun, and it's weird because I've worked with Chris, he's a good lad and stuff, but I now feel like I know him intimately and his life, so it's going to be weird next time I see him because I kind of feel like I'm up to date with his marriage. So, yeah, you know, people think about how they can support the podcast. It, obviously, it's free. I don't want anything back. All you got to do is just buy a ticket for the tour. Go online, look at the dates, the one that's nearest you, get a ticket, go to that. Or don't even go there. Just buy the ticket. Do you know what I mean? Just, I'm not doing this Patreon stuff. Sponsor me, you know. It's like a scholarship. Well done, Jim. Like, I'm sponsoring a fucking diseased donkey. So, yeah, that's what you need to do. Buy a ticket. Okay, so I've spoke about corporate virtue signaling before on the MASH report, the idea that companies just want to make you think that they're just great guys. You know, hey, look, we worry about the right things, so if we worry about that, maybe you'll buy some of our shit. So Co-op have now gotten it. Now, in fairness to Co-op, right, that is kind of written into their constitution, the way that they do business. They were very far ahead of the thing on the fair trade stuff, so I've always had a certain amount of respect that they were early adopters. They went gender neutral. They're going gender neutral on their gingerbread, man. Now, first up, Pret A Manger already did this. Yeah, you hacks. Pret A Manger already got rid of poor old Godfrey. Now, first up, does this add anything, right? Do I have any radical feminists listening? Maybe not after the comments about the ironing earlier. Do I? Because is this smashing the ceiling? I don't think it is. I don't think that this changes anything. It's just purely cosmetic. And people might say, well, why are you getting wound up about it, Jeff? Because I don't like change, all right? Have we not lost enough as men, our dignity, working men's clubs, gentlemen's clubs? Now we lose our fucking soul control over gingerbread men. Gingerbread men, it's not even that heavily gendered. When you look at a gingerbread man, are you thinking, oh, well, there goes a symbol of the patriarchy? That probably accounts for 90% of the gender pay gap right there. The fact that gingerbread men are called gingerbread men. I just don't believe that anybody cares about this stuff, right? I believe that what this is that people are in companies and they're sitting around, and then probably one of the younger, like, right-on types in marketing, millennial type, has this idea. Everyone's so fucking terrified of shooting it down because of the climate that we live in. Yeah, great idea. Great idea. Let's make gingerbread. This is what straight white men would do in that meeting, because we're so terrified of our own extinction. If you see, they go, yeah, this, no, that Maria, great, no, I'm so on board with this. And then they would probably overdo it to the point where she knows she's being patronised. I just think that growing up, I used to look at gingerbread man and go, that's bullshit, man. That is some bullshit right there. Yeah, we've just had so much of this recently. It's so transparent. And obviously, I'm playing a part of it, aren't I? I'm talking about Co-op. Every time I mention Co-op, I'm going to advertise. Who's their main competitor? I don't even know. Tesco. I'll advertise any companies for free. This is because my free advertising campaigns have worked really well up to this point. That stick with gingerbread man, okay? Just don't take this away from us, because, you know, they'll come for everything in the end. You know, they'll come for... Do you think they won't come for Father Christmas one day? An old white guy. I mean, like, you only a quick cursory look at Twitter suggests that their stock is not high currently, all right? So I don't want to... You know what? As I say that, I do think that when it comes to Christmas, probably old white men are the people that do least to make Christmas happen. So I've talked myself into a feminist corner here. I think that you can have oppression bill factored into language, but I think what most people think is that leave the fucking gingerbread man alone. It's about male body image here. I did the Trigger Pod recently. These guys, they do a podcast, but they also do it on YouTube. Check out Trigger Pod. It's very good. And they get all sorts of modern geniuses on to discuss stuff. So naturally, I was on the show. And we spoke about a whole range of issues, and I felt like it had gone pretty well. We had an interesting chat. And then at the end of it, they said to me, throwing forward, what do you think everybody would be talking about in the medium-term future? Right? And I said, well, you know, the pressure on men to look good, right? Male body image. And they laughed. And they laughed so quickly and suddenly that I felt like I really fucked up, like I really made an idiot out of myself. But look, the problem is I'm just ahead of the curve on this, as usual, right? And I think that as we've been swinging the pendulum back, you know, from focus on how women look Well, the thing is, there is still that pressure on women to look good. But instead of changing that or getting rid of that, we just said, oh, men need to be under as much pressure. So that's not really making life better for anybody. It's more like the misery of equality. And women have been getting very confident of late, haven't they, talking about how men look. Have you noticed that? You know, with programmes like Pole Dark and The Bodyguard, women make lewd comments these days, quite freely, right? Just about men, you know, about their abs and their arms, and they're sort of enjoying this newfound liberty. And if you challenge them about it, they'll often say, well, you know, well, men have been doing that for years. And I go, well, actually, right, first up, the most decent men haven't been doing that for a while, even possibly pre-Me Too. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's just been driven underground, isn't it? I mean, we still say the most disgusting stuff, but we're in WhatsApp groups now. That's what's happened to men. We're just... So I'm just conscious of this. I've got a son, and I see this rising pressure for men to look good. Now, first, I don't care. Now, I am of that generation that I just got away with this, essentially. I got to get a beautiful wife without ever really hitting my target BMI. You know, because I believe what my mum told me. Mum told me my brilliant personality is better than any six pack. So the article, let me get the article. So the actor Richard Madden, he said, we're just feeding the same shit that we're against. He says he's feeding a very unrealistic body image, right? I get it. It must be weird, right? It must be weird if your job is acting, you know, that tough job of pretending to be other people. It's very brave. That always pisses me off with actors when they talk about taking on brave roles. You know, you're pretending to be someone fatter than you or someone with a disability, isn't it? It's not fucking brave, is it? But, you know, now a lot of these actors, these male actors in particular, haven't spent a lot of time in the gym. That must feel odd. That would be odd for me as a comic. Look, I think that at the end of the day, you know, you're in the cinema game, but you're there to be lusted after, right? I don't want to see ugly people in films. Again, this is what most people think is about. Don't be judging me, okay? If I'm seeing the leading man, and this applies to men and women, I want to see attractive people, yeah? Because that's what cinema is. It's fantasy. I want to see sexy people on a massive fucking screen. I want to see people that look like me. What annoys me is the way that the actresses, female actors, I don't know, what do you call them these days, right? Is that they say how much pressure there is on them to look good in Hollywood. And I just think for a while there's been just as much pressure on the blokes, but the blokes haven't spoken out about it. I mean, you look at, like, any of these superhero guys, Thor, all the Helmsworth brothers, you know, Robert Downey Jr. There's an example. I mean, what is he, fucking 65 or something? You know what I mean? He's got the body of a 20-year-old. That is, how badly have you got to want it? If you're Robert Downey Jr., to still be putting in the hours to look like that. I mean, you're wealthy beyond, you couldn't spend that money in your lifetime, but he is still hitting the fucking cross trainer at 6 a.m. because he still wants to just get fat, Robert. Because the thing is, right, and I'd say it's arguably harder. If you're a male actor that needs to be shredded, that's hard. Because if you're a woman and you've got a good body and you're slim, everyone would love the way you look because you've got a good body. So all you really need to do is lose weight, stay in shape. But being shredded like these guys are, having these... But no, that's not fucking natural, is it? If you just simply lose weight, you're not going to have guns like Helmsworth, are you? You know what I mean? You're not... Or like Richard Madden. You're not going to have one fucking 8-pack running down there, you know? It does affect men's mental health, right? There's a condition that a lot of young men are increasingly getting called bigorexia. Now, look it up. It sounds shit. I mean, like most things with the men's movement, like menonism, bigorexia, it sounds shit. But what it is a lot of lads that are trying to, you know, put on bulk and stuff, and they just don't ever believe that they're big enough. So when they look in the mirror, right, even if they're huge, they see a small, tiny person. And I don't know how far that goes, you know what I mean, if they're trying to get in... Fucking cat flaps. Sorry, look, I know it's a serious thing. So these things do have an impact. And I think that what will happen is now, like I say, it's not so much of an issue for a man of my age. You know, I've had the privilege. As much as you can kick back on certain ideas of universal male privilege, one thing is there was definitely less pressure on my generation of men to look good. So I'm out of the game. But now you take my son. Now he gets to By the time he gets to 20, he's going to grow up with, you know, probably more equal pay, right? He's going to grow up with more scrutiny on the way that he looks. Now, you go, you know, if he's 20 working as a waiter, we will know that true equality has been hit. Is if, you know, there's a group of rowdy middle-aged women and they're making comments and then he reports one of them. That's what's going to start happening. Because they won't, why would they not, right? They don't feel like they should take that shot because they're ahead in the game of life. They just think, no, I don't fancy you. I didn't want that comment. And then I bet you any money, right? I bet you any money. What will happen is it will go full circle and those women, they'll react like those dirty old bastards from the 70s, won't they? They won't be able to compute. What do you mean? You're just having a laugh. They're just having a laugh. Oh, you got no sense of humor. Why don't you try smiling, love? Wait, what are you, gay? And then, then that is like, that is out of the question. So I think that, you know, like, I know it's a cliche to say the pendulum swung too far, but certainly in the area of looks, it is going to a place that's going to get very interesting for the next generation of men coming through. But I think that what most people think about the focus on the way that men look is that, you know, it kind of goes with the territory of being a man that you just have to take the odd comment. But I think what's going to happen is as time goes on, there'll be a new generation of men that are going to push back hard about this. And so just watch yourself, ladies. Okay, men's mental health. We spoke about grief last time, and it was quite a heavy one. This one's slightly on the lighter side of things, which is about being present. Yeah, I went on in the line of my work, I went and had a session with a men's group recently. Yeah, let's just chat, chaps. Let's just have a chat. And one of the things that comes up was, are you present in your personal life with your wife and your kid? And I think that, you know, undeniably, this is an issue that many men have, right? It's like you're there, but you're not fucking there at the same time. And the best articulation of this I've ever seen in film was in the film This Is 40. Totally underrated film, very funny. But at the beginning, Paul Rudd is like locked in the toilet, just on his phone. And how many men do that now? You know, how many men just sit in... The worst thing about it as well is I think women might even, like, respect it more if you was looking at porn, because at least you're thinking you're following some primitive masculine urge. But it's not, is it? It's just, the appeal of the bathroom isn't so you can look... It's because you can lock the door, isn't it? That's how the men trying to... within their own households, just trying to isolate themselves from the group. Now, there's obviously an element of shame that goes in feeling like this. You think, why do I sometimes seek to do this? Well, I think we're not so far from our origins, right? From the old hunter-gatherer thing that we spent 99% of our life as humans doing. And look, forget being in the toilet, even when you're sitting with your family. If women knew just how selfish we are, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I know that they know we're selfish, but imagine, lads. Imagine if they knew just how selfish. You're getting told off for being self-absorbed, and like halfway through that sentence, you're thinking like, I wonder what the title for the new Star Wars is going to be. I think they're going to go with Balance of the Force. I think it makes sense. I mean, it kind of sounds a little bit like an antiperspirant advert. And then you tune back in and there's no men. You'll know that look, ladies, right? That terrified look on a man's face where he knows he's missed a fucking crucial detail. You know, but we're not present enough. And it's true. And it was even worse with our dad's generations. Do you remember when they come along for a family event and they would think that just being there in a physical form was enough. They just pitch up on the couch and expect to be bought things. Yeah, look, I'm jealous that they were able to do that. But it's not acceptable, right? Because it doesn't make you happy in the long run. I thought, you know, it's the same with parenting as well. I'm good with the parenting with the physical stuff. You know, my son, like, take him out to the park, take him to a soft play area, take him to a museum about modern warfare. What I'm not so good at doing with him is if we're in the house, right, I don't know, just doing that focused one-on-one stuff, like getting out, doing the arts and crafts. I don't like getting shit out. Women seem to be up for that. Okay, right, let's get a flat surface. Let's get the splash mat out. Let's get the scissors. Let's get the... Immediately, I feel like a primary school teacher. I don't want to be in this place. Sometimes when you do that stuff, right, if you do commit to it and you get the Play-Doh out, and then you find it is fun once you... Man, you got to put stuff away. Women just happy getting stuff out. I don't like getting stuff out. And the phone is an issue, isn't it? Because it's a cliche thing to say, but it is like a drug, isn't it? To the point where, have you ever had this thing, you think, I'm just going to turn it off. Just going to turn it off for the rest of the day. You kid yourself, don't you? at midday, you think, you know what, I'm not very present at the moment. I'm going to turn my phone off. But then you act like a drug addict, don't you? Because you think, not only am I going to turn it off, I'm going to put it in my sock drawer. I'm just going to put it beyond use, okay? But then the phone starts calling to you, doesn't it? It's like, Jeff, it's your phone. You're missing out on some stuff, boy. Yeah, man. Spend time with your son, Jeff. I'm just saying that there might be like a mad video of a South American goalkeeper that scored a goal with his cock. Do you not want to get in early on that, Jeff? Do you not want the credit of being an early sharer of that? People, you know, no, okay, fine. You know, there's some hot takes out there that you're missing. It's important. Or people saying things you disagree with that need to be taken down with a sarcastic, ironic comment. But yeah, that's fine. Play the Play-Doh. I'm just saying, Kanye is just identified as white. So look, it's an issue. There's that part of men's brains. There's a lot of great stuff about being men, but that bit is a bit fucked. It doesn't sit that well with the modern world, just how much time we spend with our families these days. But it's just worth being conscious of, isn't it? It's just worth being conscious of. Either that or throw your phone in a fucking river. So that is the podcast. I know I'm shouting. That's the podcast. Fuck. That is the podcast for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Rate, recommend, review, buy tickets, YouTube, anything, all that stuff. And as usual, if you leave a review, there's every chance I'm going to read it out as I'm about to now. And I think it's only, given the amount of stuff I've said in this podcast about women and I appealed for women to let me know if they were listening to the podcast, we've had a few reviews from women. And this is from Lefty Bird, who likes podcasts. That's what she's called herself. She called herself that, Lefty Bird. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm already intrigued by this lady. She's both on the progressive side of politics, but so far so, she's so progressive that she actually calls herself a bird. That's blown my mind. She said, "Hi, Jeff. You were wondering..." I've got to do a voice for this, haven't I? All right, so she says at the end that she'll see me in Birmingham. So obviously it's going to be a Brummie accent. "Hi, Jeff. You were wondering if women listen, and yes, I do. I also leave stuff..." Brummies always sound a little bit defeated, don't they? Sorry. They do... They do, don't they? It's always like, well, you know, just found it. You know, they just like found out that they didn't win Euro Millions. Not a big life disappointment, but just one of those little, "Eh. Hi, Jeff, you were wondering if women listen, and yes, I do. I also leave stuff at the bottom step of the step." No. Have I mentioned the bottom step of the stairs before? Have I done this in a previous podcast? Well, this is embarrassing. If I have, I'm sorry. I talk about it in my stand-up, so maybe she means that. "I also leave stuff at the bottom step of the stairs in sad hope that some other bugger..." Oh, that's such a Brummie word, isn't it? Some other bugger. No one else can say that other than Brummies. They're owning that word. "Will eventually put it away. See you in Birmingham." Yes, the Birmingham show is fucking look at me, cynical comedian. Yeah, what a great opportunity for me to plug my fucking shows yet again. Jesus, being a comedian, I tell you, don't ever get into it. If my son ever listens to this in the future... just do a respect, be a fucking hedge fund manager. Do you know what I mean? Just anything other than this where you're desperately punting yourself. But having said that, the Birmingham Glee, it's one of the shows in the autumn. It's on a Sunday. It's in the main room. So don't leave me hanging, Birmingham. We sold out the smaller room. Come to the bigger room. And listen, whatever you're doing Easter weekend, have a great Easter. And remember that, you know, Jesus was a Ramona, wasn't he? Because he refused to accept the result, but still ended up dying. Right, that was a terrible way to finish the podcast. Look, enjoy yourselves.